Caleb, if you, thank you. Well, this morning I would like to talk with you about my trip to Los Angeles. Last week, I went to my old stomping grounds to attend the annual conference of the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations, the UMJC, in Los Angeles. There is so much to say, but I will limit it to 3 points. Number one, Hashem works in mysterious ways. Number two, our movement is moving forward. And number three, we need to give grace to win the race. Let's begin with number one, Hashem works in mysterious ways. Two Tuesdays ago, Harumi and Miriam dropped me off at Richmond International Airport. We prayed, kissed goodbye, and then I walked into the terminal. I passed through the sliding glass door and was putting on my jacket when I suddenly heard the words, "Rabbi David, it's Rabbi David." And there, right in front of my eyes, were Robert and Sandy Ramos and their family. They were at the airport too, with their daughter and grandchildren, and saying goodbyes as they traveled home. What a small world it is. After they left to go to security, I went over to the United counter to check my luggage. The person there asked what flight I was on, and I said flight 4312 to Dulles. And I'm taking a connecting flight from Dulles to Los Angeles. The United person said to me, "Mr. Rudolph, I'm very sorry to tell you this, but flight 4312 is delayed, and you're not going to be able to make your flight at Dulles." Now, for public information purposes, don't ever take flight 4312. I was told later that 9 out of 10 times it's delayed. So if you ever want to take a connecting flight, don't take flight 4312, okay? That's for the whole world to know, United. He went on to say, "We'll have to reschedule you." So I said, "Well, what time is the next flight out of Dulles?" And he said, "There isn't any. You'll have to come back tomorrow morning at 5:30 a.m. This was an evening flight. "And then tomorrow morning, we can get you on the Dulles flight." At that moment, I said to myself, "Ay, ay, 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 ay." I said to the fellow, "Is there no other way to get to Los Angeles this evening?" And he said, "I'm sorry, but there is no other way. It's due to the weather in Chicago, and all the flights are delayed." At this point, I thought to myself, I'd better call Harumi and ask her to turn around and pick me up. Otherwise, she's going to go home and have to come all the way back to the airport. So I called Harumi, but she didn't pick up, probably because she was driving or the phone was on vibrate. It was at this point that I took a deep breath and remembered the story of Rabbi Akiva and how he dealt with circumstances like this by saying, "Gamzu letova." This is also for the best. Let's all say that together. Gamzu letova. This is also for the best. I also remembered at that moment what I said in my last sermon to all of you. I said, "We too, with our eyes on the Lord, with trust in the Lord, need to be able to say, Gamzu letova, this is also for the best." By the way, after I gave that sermon a couple of weeks ago, I got a number of emails where people said, "This happened to me, Gamzu letova." So anyway, in the airport, I said out loud to the Lord, out loud, I said, Gamzu la tova. This is also for the best. Lord, I don't know what good can come from this, but I trust there is something. That's what I said out loud to the Lord at Richmond International Airport. At that point, Robert and Sandy came back. We talked a little, and they left. I have a feeling the Lord wanted you to be there to, like, comfort me and you know, just be a source of encouragement. Then I went up to the fellow at the counter again, and I said to him, have you been able to come up with anything? Because he was looking for, you know, some other possible way. And he said to me, all of a sudden he said to me, wait a minute, I think I may have a way. He did a little more typing, and then he said, I've got it. A seat just opened up on an American flight to Chicago, and you can catch the connecting flight from Chicago to Los Angeles. And then he said, from Chicago to Los Angeles, I'm bumping you up to first class. Yay! Now, you got to understand, I've never been on first class. Once, many, many years ago, I was on, I think, business class, but I've never been on first class. And at that moment, when he said that, I felt like jumping up in the air and saying, Gamzu la tova, Gamzu la tova. It was for the best. The Lord works in mysterious ways. And that is exactly what I thought as I was sitting on that big, cushy seat with my legs stretched out as the plane took off from Chicago to Los Angeles. And this brings us to my second point. Our movement is moving forward. The UMJC conference was very encouraging on a number of fronts. Here are some of the highlights. David Ween and I served as representatives of Tikvat Israel at the delegates' meetings. 10 years ago, I remember these delegates' meetings were marked by divisions and factions as fundamental questions such as, what is Messianic Judaism? Were discussed in open forum and voted on. They were very heated discussions. But after the UMJC's defining Messianic Judaism statement was hammered out and congregations began to work with it and accept it, a new spirit of unity entered the UMJC. And I think David Ween would agree with me when I say that the delegates' meeting this year was marked by almost unanimous agreement on almost every area of the agenda. There was discussion and debate on some issues, but it was all in a spirit of love, edification, feeling we are on the same team, and respect for leadership and authority. It was a wonderful example of unity in the Messiah and an indication that our movement is moving forward and maturing. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. He says, furthermore, he gave some people as emissaries, some as prophets, some as proclaimers of the good news, and some as shepherds and teachers. Their task is to equip God's people for work of service that build up the body of the Messiah. And then let's all read the last part together. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Messiah. This unity, this kind of unity that Paul talks about in Ephesians, is taking place among the rabbis of the UMJC, and Yeshua is at the center of it. There was a wonderful spirit of unity, not only in the delegates' meetings, but also, and I think David Heller would agree with this, but as well, there was a wonderful spirit of unity within the conference overall. Baruch Hashem. Now, I know I'm biased, But I thought that the best worship team at the conference was the one led by Stacy Cowan, David Howler, David Ween, Rachel Glebe, and a few others. They were fantastic. And so we had a representation of our own synagogue leading in the worship at the conference. Also, at the Shabbat dinner and at the Shabbat morning service, and it was really nice, they had a Shabbat dinner that was outside with candlelight, and it was just beautiful. But at these Shabbat services, for example, at the morning Shabbat service, we had the wonderful experience of being led by a Messianic Jewish cantor who was trained at Hebrew Union College, like Ricky was. It was clear that the UMJC leaders and those Messianic Jews and Messianic Gentiles who attended the conference this year are growing in their familiarity and their love for Jewish prayer. There is definitely a sense that the traditions of our people are becoming more familiar and more things that we are more comfortable with, that we can interact with, and that we can use as expressions of worship to the Lord with all of our hearts as we grow in understanding these traditions. We have moved from being a community divided between traditionalists and non-traditionalists to being a community that loves Jewish tradition and is working out creative ways to express it in and through Yeshua. And so there's much diversity. Some people want to express it this way, others want to express it this way, but overall we've moved past that kind of polarization of being traditionalist or a non-traditionalist. And I think that's very healthy. One decision made by the UMJC Executive Committee is that future UMJC conferences will rotate between Los Angeles, Chicago, and Baltimore. So next July, it will be in Chicago, and then it will be back in Baltimore. So I hope that many of us will save up our shekels to go to the conference in Chicago next year. It's important for us to experience the larger community and to hear about all the great things that the Lord is doing and is going to be doing this year in our movement. One of the votes taken at the delegates meeting was to decide who will be the next UMJC vice president. The person elected, whose name is Jesse Hutcher, and who attends a Messianic Jewish congregation in Florida, will begin serving in the fall. Jesse Hutcher is a young man who is in his late 30s. This is a big step forward for the UMJC as our denomination seeks to raise up next generation leaders and to pass the baton to them. This was a huge decision. Let's keep Jesse in our prayers, and let's be extra patient and gracious when it comes to the young leaders in our movement so that they can be encouraged in the Lord. And I think it's a wonderful thing that our own David Ween has been developing a relationship with Jesse Hutcher. So, you know, these peers need to grow up and view each other as colleagues and work together because these guys who are in their 30s are going to, God willing, be working together for the next 50 years. So they need to forge these strong relationships now. And this brings us to my third point. We need to give grace to win the race. The other day, I blew it with someone, and when I apologized, they said to me, "It's completely okay." I had kind of braced myself for, maybe a rupture in our relationship, but they said, "It's really okay. It's not a problem." They didn't hold a grudge against me. They didn't get upset. They understood that I am not perfect and make mistakes. In short, they extended grace to me. I felt such a sense of appreciation for this. They were gracious, and it made me think about how important it is for us to give grace. But you know something? We can't give grace unless we receive grace. Isn't that true? You can't give a cup of water unless you receive a cup of water. And it's the same way with grace. To become the mature and Yeshua-like people of God, and the unified people of God that the Lord wants us to be, and that he's called us to be, we need to learn how to receive grace and to give that grace to others that we have received from the Lord. In the Hebrew Bible, the word for grace is chen. Let's all say chen. 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 One more time. Chen. Excellent. The word chen occurs 69 times in the Tanakh, including 43 times in the phrase to find favor or chen in the eyes of the Lord or in the eyes of someone. It means essentially to be gracious, to show favor. In Genesis chapter 33:11, after Jacob has blown it many times before the Lord, he says to his brother Esau, "Please accept the present that was brought to you, for God has been gracious to me, and I have all I need." The Lord was gracious to Jacob despite his many transgressions. In the Aaronic blessing, we ask that the Lord would be gracious to us and to show us his favor, his chen. Numbers chapter 6, verse 25 says, "May Hashem make his face to shine upon you and be," what? "Gracious to you." We say this blessing every Shabbat here at Tikvat Israel. And when I say this, I am specifically asking the Lord to show us his grace that he is renowned for, and that in receiving his grace, that we would be a people, a community, a congregation that would pass his grace on to others. This is part of what it means to grow to maturity. This is part of what it means to become followers of Yeshua. We need to learn to give grace in order to win the race. When I was traveling from Chicago to Los Angeles in first class, I was aware of how small the first class section really was. A curtain separated the first class seats off from the economy section. And the people in economy are not supposed to pass that curtain. Well, when I got up to go to the bathroom in my section, I guess the stewardess hadn't noticed me sitting in my window seat because she said to me, "Excuse me, sir, but this is the first class bathroom." When she said this, I smiled and pretended to be a regular first class passenger and said, "Actually, I am in the first class section. My seat is over there." Then she replied, "Oh, my apologies, sir. That's okay then." This is an example of not being very gracious. But on my return flight from Los Angeles to Cleveland, I experienced two gracious stewardesses. I was back to my regular place in economy, and it is so much smaller. I think it's like half the size. And when I got up to go to the bathroom, I found there was a very long line. A stewardess in economy noticed me and said, "It's okay. Just use the first class bathroom." So I said, "Are you sure it's okay?" Because I was still kind of, you know, a little healing from the previous experience. And she said, "Absolutely, it's fine." So I tested it out. I walked toward the curtain. I passed through the curtain into the first class section. And I walked slowly toward the first class bathroom, waiting to be rebuffed by the stewardess. But when I got to the first class stewardess, she just smiled at me and graciously waved her arm toward the coveted bathroom. Both stewardesses had extended their favor to me, and it made me feel that I wanted to be gracious to them. I had received grace from them, and I wanted to give it back to them and to other people as a result. We need to become people of grace, people who receive grace and give grace. We need to become a synagogue, of a community that receives grace and gives grace. We need to regularly extend grace and favor to others from the grace that the Lord has given us. This morning we have talked about my trip to Los Angeles, and I had 3 points. Number one, Hashem works in mysterious ways. Gamzu letova. Number two, our movement is moving forward. And number three, we need grace to win the race. Let's pray.